Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Checking in from Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode, a new episode of the H2P podcast here on DK Pittsburgh Sports. My name is Corey Christen. Today is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. I am in Omaha with Duquesne for the NCAA tournament. How cool is it to see Duquesne and Keith Dambrot and what the Dukes are doing out here in the Midwest, in the East region, played in the Midwest. Duquesne tomorrow, as I record this, will play Illinois for a spot in the Sweet 16. And not too long ago, we didn't expect to see this out of the Dukes program, but Keith Dambrot has worked his magic yet again, and really awesome to see the position that Duquesne's program is in and the place that it will be left in by the time he retires, which is going to happen at the end of this run, whenever that is. But I'm not here to talk Duquesne. I'm here to talk Pitt. This is a Pitt podcast, and we will discuss Pitt today. Obviously, the Panthers are not in the NCAA tournament. The Panthers were left out. They were one of the first four out of the tournament via the NCAA selection committee, and then they declined their invite to play in the NIT. So what that means is the Panthers, Jeff Capel, are officially in off-season mode. And with that, as of Monday, came the opening of the transfer portal. And we are not 1 week into it, and there's already some movement with respect to the Panthers. Two major players, at least from this past team, are entering or have entered the transfer portal by this point. Those would be Federico, of course, Pitt's starting center over the last 2 years. And then Will Jeffress, small forward, backup, bench player, became one over the last year. Missed all of the previous season with a foot injury he had surgery on. So Jeff Capel's going into the offseason with, I believe it's three open scholarships. And two of those just opened up relatively quickly. And within about 12 or 24 hours at least of each other, with Federico and Jeffress leaving. Not surprised to see either by this point. Federico, to me, didn't get to grow offensively. I feel like his game really wasn't suited for the ACC on the offensive end. Now, defensively, when you look at the Panthers and their run to the NCAA tournament last year, Federico was a big factor of stopping Armando Bacot, of defensively shoring up the front court. He handled Bacot, both times that Pitt played North Carolina. And he was a nominee for ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He was up for it. And there was a lot of thought that going into this season, It was, all right, his defensive game is there. We know what he is defensively, but some of that has to come by offensively. And the way that Jeff Capel's offense this year ran, it was going to be hard for Federico all along to come together and develop. He averaged fewer points. He shot free throws at a worse rate this past year, 4.7 points, 5.2 rebounds, one block, just over that per game. Pitt's losing some production. Of course, they're losing a starting center, but next year, they're going to be looking forward to getting Papa Conte. And Papa Conte, who missed all of this season with a knee injury, really highly touted prospect. Andy Nadia, and I apologize if I butchered that, true freshman coming in. So when you look at the front court, when you look at the options now that Jeff Capel's going to have coming up in the 2024-25 season, it's going to be without Federico. It's going to be without a defensive presence. Now, Conte, to me, always had a higher ceiling than Federico did. And I'm sure Federico at some point kind of saw that writing on the wall. You had to think that he knew, or had some gauge at least, that number one, Conte would be a bit more of an impact player next season. And number two, that his offensive game, his style, doesn't necessarily jive with what's happening across the rest of the ACC with respect to the front court members. So, look, here's the way I see when it comes down to Will Jeffress. And Jeffress, of course, started in some games, not last year, but the previous year, 2 years ago, and was a big factor as a really young piece to what Jeff Capel was building. Of course, this is before Pitt really started to win some games. And Pitt was still kind of fledgling, and the questions came up about Jeff Capel and whether he'd be on the hot seat or not. Jeffress was still here through that. And last year, had he not gotten injured, he would have been a major player to go along with guys like Greg Elliott, Nike Sabandi, and Jamarius Burton, and Nelly Cummings, those four seniors that did such a wonderful job in leading Pitt last year. Then he comes into this year and is kind of in a difficult situation because, of course, Jalen Lowe, Bub Carrington, two very talented freshmen, of course, with Blake Hinson. But then Zach Austin comes in through the portal, and Austin, to me, is just a better version of Jeffress. Nothing against Will. Great kid. Very nice kid. But to me, it just felt like if Will Jeffress was capable enough, then maybe Jeff Capel wouldn't have went and got Zach Austin out of the portal and played him as much as he did. I mean, when you look at Will's minutes from this season to two seasons ago, they were almost cut in half. Will was relegated back to a bench role, was relegated to more of a specialist role, that 3-and-D kind of player. And I can understand why, especially somebody that went through as many years as he did with this program, if he felt slighted or felt like there was more opportunity elsewhere. And not that I have any sourcing or anything on this, but just my 2 cents on the matter. Check what Nate Santos is doing now for Dayton in the NCAA tournament and what he did for Dayton this year in the Atlantic 10. Santos didn't get anything here at Pitt as far as minutes go. Transferred over to Dayton, an A-10 program, same league as Duquesne, and was a big-time piece for them. Maybe Jeffress sees that way. Maybe Federico sees that way. Coming up in segment two, I want to talk about basketball, college basketball in the city of Pittsburgh, kind of in a general scope.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, let's wrap up. Let's bring it home. This H2P podcast here on DK Pittsburgh Sports. Corey Christen with you. And I'm out here currently in Omaha, Nebraska, where Duquesne is representing this city, is representing the Atlantic 10, is one of the cooler storylines of this NCAA tournament. Of course, with Keith Dambrot's pending retirement, with the state that this program has been in and was in before Dambrot got here, of course, not getting to an NCAA tournament since 1977 and not winning a game since 1969. Just an awesome follow, this Duquesne team right now. And I'm recording this the night before they play Illinois, the 3 seed in the East region. And that's going to be a tough, tough, tough game for the Dukes. And we'll see how that eventually shakes out by the time this gets posted. It'll be, I believe, morning of that game. But, you know, can't really talk about a game that hasn't happened as of this moment. But when I think about Pitt last year, and even this year, getting onto the bubble, being probably a Missouri loss or one more win away, or that Missouri loss and one more win away from getting into the NCAA tournament for the second straight year after they made it last year. And then when I think about what Duquesne's doing right now, college basketball in the city of Pittsburgh is back. It's doing really well. But then I take it a step further by thinking about this. When I got back into the press room Thursday night after Duquesne beat BYU, scrolling online, I'm reading some stuff, I'm catching up on what's happening in some ways, and I see a video posted online of the scene at PPG Paints Arena when Duquesne secured the win over BYU and how the crowd just kind of went nuts over it. And this wasn't a Penguins crowd. This was a crowd at PPG Paints Arena to watch college basketball. And I've seen photos. That arena was packed. Between Pitt and their success as of late, Duquesne's success this year under Keith Dambrot, who is on his way out with retirement whenever this run ends. And when I see the images of PPG Paints Arena, when I see games like Oakland and Kentucky, where John Calipari, the Moon Township native, comes back home with a Kentucky team that is hell-bent on getting back to prominence within the NCAA tournament. And then I see Oakland, the Horizon League champion. And I see a kid make 10 three-pointers in that building and light the place up. And I see Oakland take down Kentucky. It reminds me, number one, that this tournament is unlike anything else in sports. My personal favorite sporting event is the Masters. My second favorite sporting event is this. If you would have asked me probably 5-6 years ago, I would have probably said the World Series. But just from a personal standpoint, from a fan perspective, there's nothing like this out there where, and especially now in college basketball, where, and this is another conversation where, you know, teams are getting older. These mid-major teams are picking up older players. They're picking up guys that once upon a time were recruited to play at Power Six schools and kind of got shoved down the depth chart one way or another, or maybe had injuries or whatever it was, and then transferred to these mid-major programs. I use Nate Santos's name in the last segment, so I'll use his name again. Nate Santos, a guy recruited to play at Pitt, was recruited to play Power 6 basketball, didn't really make it as far as getting in the rotation here, and then transferred to Dayton, an A-10 team, mid-major program, one of the best in the country, and he's producing for them. He's doing very well for them. You're seeing more guys like that flood into these mid-major programs, which is why you're seeing Oakland beat Kentucky, when Oakland has, you know, guys that are going to be doing taxes for other people in the next 2 years. And Kentucky's going to have guys that go to the NBA. That's why you have Duquesne and Day-Day Grant, experienced guys like Day-Day Grant and Jimmy Clark. And then you have a team like BYU, who, yeah, they have experience, or they have age, but the gap's closing in college basketball. But even with that, and just looking at how the city came out to respectfully represent, and when I say that, I mean they look at this sport that isn't one of their own, right? Pro basketball is not in Pittsburgh. College basketball is, but of course Pitt's not in the tournament. Duquesne is outside of the state. To see these fans come and pay homage to the sport, it just spoke volumes to me. Now, I know that there's, let's call it research by this stage, being done by the city of Pittsburgh to see if they could field an NBA team. I'm not so sure if it's that on that level just yet. I would love to see it someday. I love basketball. I would love to see it. I would be fully on board with an NBA team, or for the fact of that matter, a WNBA team in Pittsburgh. I'd be fully, fully on board with that. I don't see it happening soon. But if things like Duquesne making the tournament and Pitt making the tournament and Pitt vying to make the tournament even, and then they host the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament to other programs, you know, Kentucky, NC State, Oakland, when you bring in programs from elsewhere, there's still that representation. That just means the city's on board. And one of the takeaways I had from that also was that this has to be a Final Four site soon. This has to be at least a host regularly, if not semi-regularly. This city has basketball roots. It has some basketball history. The DNA of the city is not basketball, but give it a chance. I think basketball can thrive, pro and college. I think it's possible in the city of Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of this H2P podcast. Reminder, you can find us where all podcasts are found. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, for playback 24/7, 365. My name is Corey Christen. Thank you for listening in. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.